Joe Oliver, 2024 budget is a sad tale of government not allowing the country reach its full potential. Commentary. Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance Chrystia Freeland introduced a dysfunctional budget that will damage the economy with sins of both omission and commission. Regrettably, the budget fails to meaningfully address affordability in housing and exacerbates Canada's productivity crisis. Instead, we were treated to a political document from a flailing tax and spend government desperately trying everything to reverse a collapse in the polls, but trapped by a financial squeeze brought on by its relentless profligacy. Prime Minister Trudeau long abandoned any pretense of fiscal probity, sound economic management, or common sense. He is now reduced to buying votes with demographically targeted schemes, pie-in-the-sky net zero subsidies, performative government industrial policy, and counterproductive tax hikes. The government deficit will reach $40 billion, making it harder for the Bank of Canada to lower rates, with negative implications for our cost of living. Debt doubled in the past 9 years to a massive $1.4 trillion, driving federal interest obligations to $54 billion, more than health transfers. In 4 years, interest will reach $64.3 billion, greater than equalization payments to the provinces and equal to GST revenue. The sins of commission started pre-budget with a plethora of extravagant promises that, combined with other budgetary items, will cost $53 billion over 5 years, including dental care, pharmacare, a national school's food program, building apartments for millennials and Gen Z voters, and investments in the military and AI capacity. There are also tax credits for carbon capture and storage, clean technology, and critical minerals exploration. The biggest omission relates to productivity, which has become a national crisis. Statistics Canada reported labor productivity fell in 11 of the last 12 quarters to 72% of the United States number because our workers don't have the machinery and equipment to make them as efficient. Since 2015, Canada's real GDP per capita barely grew at 0.3% annually, a full percentage point lower than advanced economies on average. Our standard of living is not improving or keeping up with inflation. The OECD predicts Canada will rank last for productivity growth over the next 4 decades among 38 developed economies. That is a disgrace for a country blessed with abundant natural and intellectual resources. Liberal government policies, including the budget, have exacerbated Canada's lackluster productivity. Reducing red tape, onerous, dilatory, and frequently hostile regulations, and uncompetitive taxes are obvious ways to increase competitiveness, innovation, profitability, capital investment, and job creation. The government's hostility to energy resources has been especially egregious, costing the country hundreds of billions of lost revenue, limiting public funding for social programs, and damaging economic growth, employment, and overseas exports. Furthermore, deliberately obstructive policies undermine national security and the ability to help allies desperate for our LNG. Government policies also discourage agriculture and critical minerals development. There are other actions government can take to enhance productivity. It can enhance competition by reversing the onus on Investment Canada Act reviews. Progress has been glacial on removing interprovincial trade barriers that the Canadian Free Trade Agreement was supposed to address and which Deloitte concluded could lift GDP by $80 billion and wages by more than 5%. Supply management, a domestic cartel, should be phased out. It increases the cost of milk, eggs, and poultry, reduces consumer choice, stifles innovation, prevents farmers from developing export markets, and undermines bargaining power in trade negotiations. Taxes should be lowered to enhance affordability for individuals and competitiveness for businesses. Instead, the budget went in the opposite direction with an increase in the capital gains inclusion rate starting June 25, from 1/2 to 2/3 on gains over $250,000 annually for individuals, but the full amount for corporations and trusts. This measure is projected to increase tax revenues by $20 billion over 5 years. However, since investors can defer the gain by not selling assets, the amount is likely inflated. capital gains taxes, which are double taxation, hurt the economy, raise the cost of equity capital, discourage entrepreneurship and investment, distort economic decision-making, exacerbate capital flight, undermine productivity, and reduce Canada's attractiveness as a place to work. Furthermore, the share of people earning more than $150,000 a year who paid capital gains tax in 2020 was less than half the total, according to the Fraser Institute. The middle class will be impacted by this tax hike, not just the top 0.1%, as Freeland claimed. The budget's transparent context is that Justin Trudeau is determined to hang on to his power and privilege, abetted by Jagmeet Singh, who is exploiting Trudeau's vulnerability at the expense of long-suffering Canadians who can't wait to escape their painful grasp. How sad when a country is prevented from reaching its potential by its own government.